Hey everyone, and welcome to For the Love of Product, brought to you by the Product Led Alliance. I'll be your host, Tioma Hansen-Drury, Chief Product Officer at Mina Technologies, and all-around passionate product aficionado. Each episode, we'll be looking at the head and the heart behind product-led growth, the passion and the practice of product. And we'll be picking the brains of seasoned CPOs and heads of products, as well as visionary founders and investors getting their inside stories. Enjoy!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of For the Love of Product. Today, I'm joined by a woman who has a fantastic story. I think it will resonate with many of our listeners, and her name is Nanika. Nanika is a visionary leader. She's had product and engineering roles. She brings a very diverse skill set of extensive experience across the past two decades, working in various sectors, including banking, financial services, retail, e-com. She's acted as both head of product and head of tech, but she's also been a founder. And in all of those roles, she has demonstrated proficiency in leadership, strategy, team building, and community building, which is something we'll spend a lot of time talking about today. Nanika's background is hailing from one country and having relocated to another, to the UK 15 years ago. And through that, she's cultivated a rich understanding and appreciation for inclusivity, diversity, and cultural integration, which I also think will be interesting. Nanika has worked at both large corporations, mid-scale businesses, and across a variety of roles with companies like Compare the Market, Barclaycard, and Tesco. She dedicates time as a mentor and community builder today, which is all about her commitment to sharing knowledge, fostering growth within her field. And that's probably part of why she's here with us, spending her time with us today. Nanika, where are you zooming in from?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Tioma. That's such a powerful and resourceful introduction. I think I have not heard that for a long time. Thank you so much. And I'm so fantastic. And it's Friday, and I've been really looking forward for the weekend. I'm so excited to talk to you. And I hope we can have a healthy, as well as very fun way kind of discussion. This is, I know, it's a podcast, and where I am such a fond of a lot of podcasts, especially on the product tech and women related leadership kind of podcast. I hope we can talk something meaningful, and I am hoping I should be able to share, should be able to learn from you, and should be able to communicate something from my experience, from my career journey, as well as from my very, very diversified culturally, as you said rightly, different country from my original country and now the country I'm living. Let's talk. Let's dig in.
Okay, let's do. And I have no doubt that you're going to share and lots of learning will take place. So Nanika, obviously you're in the UK today, but as I said in the intro, you relocated here 15 years ago. You've been working in product and technology and engineering roles, though, for longer than that. And so maybe just to start us off, you can talk a little bit about the beginning of your journey, your professional journey, because I know that you didn't start doing product, right? You actually started in a different field. So why don't you tell us a little bit about those early days when Nanika was still in school and just getting started?
Yeah, so that's something, very, really exciting and also a turning point in my journey, and I'm glad that you picked that. You are rightly said, I didn't start my career as a product. Actually, I am an engineer, and I passed my BTEC and then picked up the job. And I did kind of engineering job for a couple of years. And then at some point, this is a big story, and probably you'll love to dig down a little bit more. This is the time long back, around 15, 16 years back, when I've been doing wonderful in the job for other people. However, for me, I was not getting that sense of satisfaction, fulfilling. I remember when I joined the first company, I did a couple of months, 6 months, 8 months, very good. Then I was kind of bored. And then I figured out what is that that is not getting connected. So I did speak to my manager, and probably it's the project, he thought. So he suggested me to change the project, and we changed the project. After that, the next project, it is okay. It was good for the team, good for the company. But I, at the end of the day, I was feeling the same. So then I thought probably it's not the right company, not the right culture. So time to move on. So I decided to move on and picked up another place. And after probation, after a couple of months and all, again, the same story. So I have been looking for that excitement. And then finally, one night, I sit down and did ask myself, what is that? You know, what is that I'm looking for? What is that actually would be satisfying for me? Then I concluded the problem is not the project, not the company, not the people. It is the me, you know. It is me, and inside me, what is that actually I want? And this is where I concluded probably I'm not doing the right thing that is, you know, I am meant to do. And this is where I almost spoke to me. I said, no, you know, I am someone, I believed I am someone who loved to solve the customer problem, business problem. I want to see myself at the shoe of business and customer. And this kind of work actually brings a lot of excitement, a lot of fulfilling, and a lot of satisfaction on me. And I love technology, but I see technology to serve better as a product, to solve the problem of, you know, customer or business. And I am someone, you know, always looking for the opportunity for the growth. Finding that growth and giving it a step in terms of business case or, you know, anything, and then talking it through and seeing that concept and the, you know, business case to bringing to reality, which is the product, you know. So that's something actually excites me. It's actually, I figured out I'm someone who loves connecting the dots and painting the big picture, painting the story, and always looking for that wow factor, you know, which actually excites the people around me, the business, the customers. Those are the things which gives me quite fulfilling, satisfactory, and it energizes me. So then, you know, to conclude, that is where I realized probably the product would be the right, you know, place. Rather than, you know, going and coding. And that's where I decided to take a different trajectory.
So, Nanika, I mean, you were quite young at that time, really, right? Young in your career. And it takes a lot of self-reflection to realize what connects you and what makes you excited about something. And hearing you speak about how you eventually chose product and because you're good at connecting the dots, maybe that's how you did this. But do you have any advice for anyone who's maybe in a similar scenario where, you know, the role just doesn't seem to be fulfilling them and they've changed projects, they've changed companies, you know, they've changed verticals, and yet still they're just not sure that, you know, they're in the right kind of role. I mean, any advice for someone in that situation to reflect the way you did?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, individual attitude and individual how they take the risk. I'm someone who actually loves to challenge myself, and I take risk. I find any kind of mundane work very, very boring. See, I feel everyone, sooner or later, they will figure out what really they like, right? What excites them. If not in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 8 years' time, if not 10 years' time, 15 years' time, you will have your own learning, own growth, right? The situation I explained to you, obviously, that was not a very easy situation. I have been yearning. I was young. I thought in my mind, I completed my education and, you know, parents, you know, this is very, very common, who wanted me to settle down because I've been earning, I have finished my job, I finished my education. So leaving that job and, you know, again pursuing MBA, which is what I did. I left my job. I pursued MBA in a very reputed organization from India. So I got some kind of, you know, no, do not do that and all from my parents or friends. But at the end of the day, I had to take them through my journey. I said them, this is not what excites me, you know, you need to convince them. I spoke to a couple of friends, I spoke to my couple of mentors, and then finally, you know, at the end of the day, people will talk different things, but you are the person who would conclude what works best for you, right? So anyone who is actually struggling the similar situation, I would say take a step back, reflect, understand what excites you, you know, and if you are not sure, talk to people, talk to the friends, family, mentors, and colleagues around you. The more you discuss, the more you flesh out the, you know, the situation, it will be more clearer and you will be one step closer to your, you know, dream place.
That's very helpful. And you said that this was a difficult process. I can imagine, I mean, this was, you know, you're thinking back 15, you know, 20 years ago now, but were there points where you had made this decision and you were telling your friends, you were telling your family in particular, maybe telling your current colleagues that you were going to make this change, and where you considered, am I not doing the right thing? Like, because people reacted negatively? Or I think that would be helpful for anyone considering this to know what to expect in terms of pushback or, you know, concerns that people who care about you are maybe expressing.
Yeah, you know, in that journey, okay, every time you have a dual thought, right? Should I do, should I not do? There are like morning you wake up fresh. Yes, this is something I want, you know? And then over the day, I express, and you talk to different people, you talk to your mom, you talk to your siblings. Oh, what you're doing? You have been doing great in the company. You just got promotion. Everybody likes you. You are getting good salary. So then all those kind of things come up. Yeah. Life is like that. But, you yourself is the owner of your life, right? You should take that accountability. You need to filter out what actually you need to take and what you don't need to take. So I remember in that journey, you know, at some point, every time I was kind of dual mind, should I, okay, I can go ahead and I can see different role within that job and within that company and all. But at the end, I said to myself, no, this is the thing actually I want. So ultimately, nobody, it's your life. You need to take that accountability and you own that, right? You own that journey. You need to live your journey. Not other people will leave you. Neither you live others' journey, right? You want to make your journey more authentic and, you know, you almost, it's like identity. You have just one identity. So I believe Ninika Nanda being one identity, nobody can copy that, right? So this is where I have to protect my identity. I have to build up my identity and this is where I am. So I am today, I'm very proud that I took that decision of leaving, you know, a secure job and then doing my MBA and then doing the things which really I love and which is really fulfilling. That is how I could able to, you know, push myself for another 15 years, which is 2 decades. And also, I don't know how long I'll be working, but I do not think I'm doing something on others' direction. I'm doing something on mine. Wish and my direction, you know?
I love it. Okay. So that was the beginning of your journey. You know, let's pick up here, right? You said you were in a very well-paid position, you know, you had been doing well in that role. You decide to make this change. What happens next? You just get a job as a product manager and it's easy from that point on, or was there more to the story, I imagine?
Yeah, so EG in terms of, I am not say EG, and I also would not be happy to find myself in a EG place, even now also. Once I completed my MBA, I picked a business analyst, which is really fulfilling, which is more to do with the business and the product. And I started working for various firms in, you know, customer journey, in the, you know, bringing the business case, building the strategy, commercializing those product and services, and working on the growth. And this is really fulfilling, and it was never ending. One in another, and then, you know, I built up my confidence in utilizing my leadership skill, which I am, I believe, from childhood, seeing myself, you know, heading the classroom and then as a monitor to the school. So I always love empowering the people around me, you know, in terms of facilitating, in terms of showing them how to do and all. And that is always I have taken, whether in the family or in the school or in the community or at the workplace. And that part of the leadership, I started building more confidence by leading, you know, small team to medium team to large team, as well as taking the product, you know, in a small version to multiple products or portfolios. And at some point, I had to move the country. So this is something was quite exciting, and that I had to do for good. That is basically to come and join my husband, where he decided to be here. And this is another turning point, probably you would love to learn.
Yeah. So you moved to the UK to join your husband. And at that point, what was your career? You know, where were you in the career at that point? Were you still doing business analysis? Had you made the jump into doing more of the product downstream work? Where were you?
I have been doing that time on a senior position on the business and product side. And I have been leading a very fantastic, lovely team. And it was hard it's a mixture of, you know, kind of living something where you were born and brought up, and, you know, you love the work, you love your people, you love your friends, families, and then putting yourself to somewhere, you don't know what's going on, what is going to happen, to be honest. I came as a, there was some excitement, but I must admit there was also nervousness, because I didn't bring that job here. I had to resign from that job, and then I had to come and first settle. And it's a mixture of excitement in the country, different country, and, you know, it's totally different in terms of the culture, in terms of the weather. I remember coming in December, seeing everywhere the white snow, and coming from a place which is really crowded, you know, lot of traffic and noisy. We wake up with, you know, a lot of, and we love food, love people and all, and coming here, very calm. I landed off at Cambridge, December time, and it's beautiful snow, but morning when I wake up, I do not hear a single noise. So I thought, what's going on? I was not used to. I'm not saying that's something, you know, weird or bad, but I have never experienced that, you know. I came from Bangalore, which is a very happening and very noisy place. And then finding here, and the morning when I wake up, and obviously, as I said, like I left my job over there. So I was kind of okay. This is something I need to deal with. So that's the time I remember when I went to pick up another job. I can clearly, even when I go to shop, or when I interacted with other people, I can clearly experience the cultural difference. Throughout my career over India, I have number of business. I have worked from US and European country, but coming and living at another country and experiencing the culture in your blood, that is really different.
Yeah, very well said. And I certainly identify with it as I myself moved to the UK from another country as well. So, Nanika, I mean, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that moving to the UK was a bit intimidating, because I think many people who are listening to you probably are thinking, wow, this woman, she just throws herself into, you know, situations that are brand new and potentially quite scary, right? Switching from a very solid, safe engineering degree to something, you know, completely different, moving from one country to a new country without a role. It seems like, you know, not being afraid of failure and welcoming unknown has played a very important role in the way that you have shaped your career and also your life. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that is. I mean, there are more story to, you know, tell. That's not the end of the journey where I throw myself to very uncertainty or different challenges. That's something I love, to be honest. It's not that I do not love stability. I do love stability. Everybody loves stability and security. However, I always look for the excitement in that. I think my openness to experiment, the way I have been welcoming the challenges, the way I put myself to different challenges and, you know, always thinking out of the box, that's where I experience a lot of opportunity. It's almost like I always compare the time when I do not welcome change, and now that I have been welcoming the change and I have been putting myself to different challenges and situations, it's the pool of opportunity, abundance amount of opportunity, which probably I would not have experienced if I would have just been at one place and just think this is the place for me. So this is probably my attitude, not getting settled at all at one place, you know. So that's something I must say is my driving factor. I remember when I have been working for a well-known bank, Barclays. So working there almost 2-4 years, and it is a lovely platform. A lot of challenges within the bank, you know, with the risk and all. I have learned a lot, but at some point I decided to leave that and go and explore the new aspiration, new baby in my mind, you know. That is where I have left the job and then went ahead and founded Vision Propositions. Obviously, this is again very interesting story. A lot of questions I have to face. Why you are, you know, this is such a great place, why you are leaving and all. And I left that. Everybody, you know, whenever you leave the job, they will ask where you are joining, right? They always ask. It's a like fundamental assumption that you got a promotion somewhere, you got a good job, but I didn't have that. Yeah. So when I said that, and nobody was believing me, oh, you are leaving a job without having a job. Yeah. So I said, no, I have something, you know, new and interesting things I would like to explore. So I have taken some time to experiment that. And that is the story. That is the foundation where, you know, the Vision Proposition came from, which really allowed me to not only to, you know, experiment my thought process, but also really brought a lot of opportunities that probably we'll be speaking in our next, you know, part, which I'm really proud of.
Yeah, I think it's a great time to move into that. So what is Vision Propositions and how has it shaped your life for, you know, the last several years? You've done a lot of really exciting stuff, but tell our listeners what's happened.
Yeah. So this is something, as I said, you know, it is like the scratch, my entrepreneurial skill set. And I did that when I absolutely didn't have any idea how other people are doing. But this is something I felt, you know, quite different excitement. And this is why I detached myself from the full-time job, so-called stable and, you know, secure place, monthly salary, and forced me to think out of the box and throwing myself to challenge and taking more, you know, risk. And vision proposition has really allowed me to, you know, allowed myself to fail, but also realizing that fail is okay. It's a norm as part of your journey. Fail, but fail fast. And take that as a learning. Vision proposition has also brought my confidence level to another 2, 3, 4 steps ahead. And I must say, I have a steep learning curve through vision proposition, which allowed me to engage with, to partner with the various well-known corporate, engaging with C-suite, chief product officer, chief technology officer, CIOs, directors, and helping them in terms of, you know, bringing the business and moving ahead with the business and helping in terms of the growth. Through which I have been engaged with a number of corporate like Worldpay, Tesco, you know, another industry like Horizon Discovery and comparethemarket.com. So this has helped me to grow in uncertain situation, especially, you know, you remember the COVID, it is totally different. So through vision proposition, I have explored all the part of my aspiration, and I have built different feathers on my hearts through vision proposition. And let it be, you know, a retail strategy, or it could be, which is during the COVID, you know, solving for a purpose, or maybe bringing a very high growth merchant service on the payment platform for Worldpay, or could be bringing a tools in terms of the product and service which actually serves a number of consumers' problem in terms of empowering them financially and helping them to solve the money, you know, day-to-day expenditure, which is comparethemarket.com. So I'm quite proud. I have decided to take that trajectory. And apart from that, also through vision proposition, I could able to engage with number of community, which is I'm really passionate about. I have also engaged in terms of mentoring, in terms of offering as well as, you know, taking the mentoring for me, because growth is something which is inevitable. You need to work out on you. I have given number of I have engaged with a number of people, aspiring fellows, in terms of sharing my journey, the product coach or mentorship, whether within the organization or outside. I have also engaged with a number of eminent leaders, but especially on the women leadership, because that's where I get my fuel. It's so fantastic always to validate your thought process to ensure that you are in the right direction and take the advice and suggestion you might have for any difficult situation.
Nanika, you've had a very inspiring journey and it's still going. I'm curious for listeners who want to reach out to you and they want to learn more for vision propositions or maybe for the mentorship and community building work, how can people get in touch with you? What's the best way to connect?
Oh, I just say, like, I love people because they are the core strength here. Yeah? And anyone who is interested to talk to me, they can reach out to me. You know, my LinkedIn is open. They can reach out to me or they can email me nanda.nanika@gmail.com directly. And any kind of advice in terms of career or if you are on a career break or I am a woman over 40. So other part of the lie, because I feel, you know, everything is integrated, right? Your personal as well as professional. Sometimes at the workplace, I might have seen or heard, you know, probably people might be feeling a bit of weird. I talk, connect my personal, you know, stories, but this is very important. I have seen a number of women who struggles in, you know, in the career journey or the first time mom, you know, or having any kind of, whether you talk about, you know, menopause or, you know, fertility issues and all. So any challenges over 40 you find, I'm happy to talk if it is not only career. And in irrespective of those issues and challenges, how we still can move ahead and build the, you know, our career trajectory and achieve the dream we have been, you know, dreaming every day. This is normal. This is not something different, you know, and you go and talk to number of high achiever women, you will be surprised out of 10, 8 or 9 women has the similar kind of stories. So I, coming to your questions, I'd be really, really happy if I can help or share any of the, you know, my career journey and facilitate those individuals to move one step ahead to their dream.
You're very generous, Ninika, and I think that people will reach out to you. So thank you. I have two final questions for you. The first is about, you know, age, as you just said, and also changing, thinking outside of the box, going to the unknown. You know, some people think that the older they get, the less capable they are to change, to make change like that. So, oh, I can't possibly change in my career now because, you know, I'm 45. I've been doing this for 25 years. What would you say to someone who's kind of holding themselves back in that way?
It's a great question, Tiama. And I really, I'm really happy that you asked me, because this is something, you know, I've been talking within my community, within the friend circle, who used to, you know, take a change in their career. You know, life is short, yeah? And what the advice I always give, whatever you want to do, do. The only problem is you. You know, it is you and your mind who is holding you back. Nobody is going to hold you back. You know, it's like I have a very favorite quote, you know, like it's your way. You should decide in which direction to fly, right? And the sky is no, you know, no one owes the sky. Yeah. So having said that, it's never been late to go and chase your, you know, dream. I have colleagues who has, you'll be very surprised. I have a wonderful colleague now who is my friend. She had changed her career. She was a lawyer. And now she is the working on the customer space in the UX. And when I spoke to her, she did explain. She did her, you know, degree in the lawyer. She did work, but she found herself, she's not actually enjoying that, making, you know, black to white and white to black. And again, you know, it's, we are the human being. So 5 years, what you do, probably in after doing that 5 years or 2 years, you find you change your interest, everything keeps on changing. It just do or, you know, talk to people. When you go, you remember, like, for example, when I bought my BMW, yeah, before that, when I was doing research, and when I go in the road, I can see a lot of BMW. Yeah, so when you think about something, you'll automatically find the people around you like that, and you can go and approach. Yeah, and you'll automatically find the way, the tools, the techniques, which will drive you there. Yeah, so for those people who wants to make a change in their career, just take the step. Take the action, and everything will be open up. You know, it's just you. You are sitting on the driving place. You are the driver of your car. Yeah. Which direction you have to drive, it's up to you.
That's very, very good answer. Very inspiring. Okay, last question. And this is something we ask everybody who comes on the show, Nanika. And I loved this answer. So if we had a museum dedicated to the world's most important products, which one would you say we should put in the museum and why?
It's very interesting question. I must say funny as well. We product lovers, so we cannot, you know, it's like asking a mom if she has 4 or 6 children, which child is the most favorite?
Yeah.
So it's not, to be honest, it's really hard. But since we are talking on the podcast, I'll be talking 3 products, and I hope I can touch different aspects of the areas what I'm really passionate about, and which is really key ingredients for the people who are passionate about leadership and also passionate about, you know, product technologies, and also passionate about loving themselves. Yeah. So first, very simple, I must say, Google Calendar. This is something why I have chosen, because I feel, and it is very correct, as a leader, if you can't manage yourself, you can't manage other, right? And Google Calendar is so beautiful in managing me, you know? So every morning when I wake up, I know everybody has planner and, you know, diary and everything and all, but Google Calendar on the phone, you know, every day when I wake up, I just see what is the main 4 or 5, you know, things and all. And again, there is a reminder, half an hour reminder, in case you are forgetting, it will. So that is really very, very handy. It's not a tema. So I feel something like, you know, that, and also maybe beeping and giving on my smart was always, you know, showcasing, okay, 10 minutes to do that and all. So that is something I would like to bring, so that it would help you to manage yourself as well as manage other. Second is, I would like to think about a product which is purely on the well-being apps. And this is which actually I am following at the moment. I've been doing regularly the yoga, which is Havild yoga every day. So this is a very simple but very, very effective apps. And every day, almost if not 7 days, at least I try to do 4 to 5 days, 30 to 45 minutes is the yoga class. And it is so empowering, you know, it almost like, you know, fulfill with load of energy to you. It makes you so happy and brings a lot of excitation, and you feel quite, you know, in control, healthy. So this is a wellbeingness, and I always talk to my team and the people around, you know, me, well-beingness is really important, whether family or work. If you are not well, if you are not feeling good, if your mental health is not well, not only the physical, the mental as well, then how you are expected to serve better to the people around you? Yeah, whether it is family or friends, community or the work. So this is where I would highly recommend, you know, well-being apps. And third is, I had a thought on this. Third is a product which I would like to call 2B product. All right. And what it is, 2B product is something I like to see one day, and which I can envision a future with this product, which can integrate a lot of things, which is actually especially for the people like us, women, for underprivileged, or for the people who are having difficulty, whether you talk about, you know, different communities, you talk about LGBTQ or BAME or something, And this product should do a multi-purpose and should bring a lot of positive functionality, which would serve to uplift the communities. And I wish and hope each of the industry leader should have this product. You know, you remember, like, you know, kind of a monitor in the when you go and reception, which can see so what is the gender gap in the in their industry. It's like, you know, every day it should be beeping. Okay, this is what. And the functions which I like to say see on this is gender disparity. You know, it should also advocate the equity, not the equality. You know, there is a difference between equality and equity. So those kind of features and functionality, I'm talking very highly vision. So we can talk about features and functionality later, but, you know, I don't want to go to that detail. And it should function consistently, you know, reminding the industry leader until these gaps are eliminated. Yeah. And while I appreciate the ongoing research and efforts, there are so many things happening within the company. You know, they have been doing, creating a lot of things. The leaders are adopting a lot of tools, techniques, research, how to nullify those gaps. But this is something now to do, you know. And this is really important for, you know, for our children and grandchildren, so that the difficulties and the challenges we have faced, we have been facing, they should not be facing. Yeah. And on the top of that also, I would like to also add upon the few other things, like bringing of greenfield features, talk about the, you know, the climate, you know, which is the biggest challenge, to be honest. So those are the kind of products I would like to, you know, see, so that at least, you know, it's really, we are too late. We need to build up and act upon something for our children and grandchildren. There is no point of building your, you know, bank balance for your children or, you know, next generation, if they don't have, you know, environment to breathe. So what the money for? So to conclude, I think I have a lot of ask, but I would like to see one product to be, you know, all these future aspiring things, whether, you know, gender gap, whether, you know, the any kind of challenges we have been facing in the economy or in the climate, and also the equity oriented, you know, so that offering a platform, what can empower them to perform at their best, right? It's like, don't give the same suit to everyone, give the right size suit to the individual, right? So yeah, that's the kind of product I hope. It's a 2B product, but yeah, we can work out on that.
Nanika, I have to say, in getting to know you, this answer is perfect for you, right? Because you're the first guest who's ever come on the show and imagined a future product that was the answer to this question. And that seems just perfectly fitting with you, who just keeps imagining the future and not settling for what's in front of you. So thank you for joining us today. We appreciated hearing your story, and we look forward to following along and seeing where you go from here.
Thank you very much, Diyama. It's such a wonderful to have me, and I look forward to see number of, you know, talk like this with you in future.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. Be sure to share the word of product-led growth far and wide, and let your colleagues, friends, family, neighbors, and anyone you think who would like to know that there's a kick-ass product podcast on offer from the Product-Led Alliance. If you haven't already, don't forget to sign up to the Slack community and check out all our other great content, upcoming events, and other ways to get involved at productledalliance.com. And let's come back again next time to talk more about the head, the heart of product.